All God's people said, thank God, I'm glad I serve a Lord that does. Amen. He's got it all in His power and in His control. I want you to turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And I'm going to preach to you this morning on God honors preaching. Are y'all with me this morning? I want to tell you, I like to be in an environment where the Lord reveals Himself. The greatest place for a man, a woman, or a boy or girl in this life is in a place that God reveals Himself. We are not a people that can make it through life by ourselves. We need the King of Glory to dominate us and to move us drastically. I want to paint you a picture of the environment that I find in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 before I begin the message this morning. I believe there's three particulars that Paul is after. Now, there are some things we got to understand about this environment as a people. The Corinthian people were a people made up of all classes of people. There was a mixed environment. They had so many different things, and then we're going to talk about the location. But there are so many things being said about the Corinthian church. They were a people that were bombarded by all kinds of introductions. The devil was appealing to them overtime. He always does that to people that are held in the greatest darkness. He's always moving, trying to saturate the hearts and minds of people to get them to change the way things are by just considering maybe what they want for themselves. In verse 1 and verse number 2, we'll find the preeminence of Christ. The place where the Lord deserves first place. In verses 3 through 5, we'll find the power of the Holy Spirit of God. If there's anything that's going to get done, it'll be by the power and the Spirit of the Lord. In number 3, verses 6 through 9, there's the predetermination of the Father, and He does it exactly the way that it needs to be done. Less than a month ago, I picked up the telephone and called one of the greatest preachers that I know of during this generation. Pastors a big congregation, preaches all over the world, doesn't really know me much, but I picked up the phone because I heard him preach a message and it stirred my soul so much that I felt like he needed to know about it. And I want to quote to you some of the things that I've heard him say on a platform in one of the greatest schools in America today. He's been one of the most motivational men behind the Word of God. He's an expositionist, to say the least. He is a verse-by-verse man. He's geared, hot-wired with God, and very few people around this area even know who I'm talking about. But I do believe I've read far enough in the Bible, I know the difference between the good and the bad. I know the difference between that's made a difference. This man said that pulpits in America today have been reduced to a mere platform of slick communicators. Why, they themselves have now become a stage of what they consider to be performers. These pulpits in America today are people that have lost sight of thus saith the Word of God, because that's the only thing that's going to change who we are. I want to say, as he said, he believes that what has happened in America today, that Bible preaching has been misplaced by words such as, let me tell you what happened to me yesterday. In this extreme paradigm shift in this world we call our society, gleaming and glowing with hope, they've replaced Holy Ghost preaching with what we would call screen presentation. Theatrics have taken the place of theology. For some of you that don't know what I mean, it's now an impressive thing for people to put stuff up on a screen. Now, I might occasionally do that, but And I'm not going to let that get in the way of what I ought to do when it comes time to open my jaws and drop my plow. I want to tell you what we look at in the Word of God. We find that the focal point used to be in America what the men of God held behind this piece of wood called the pulpit used to be the most precious piece in the community. I want to say I still believe that the shadow of haze has now drawn people in our present day generation to a new understanding. You want to know why people are running the way they are? They've got an appetite for the things that seem to impress the flesh. I want to say flat-footed this morning that God's Word is the most vital element in this church. Oh, I get excited. I'm a shouter. Bless God, I'll drop the hat and get to shout over it. But if my shouting is not followed by presence of the Word of God, and if I'm not as deep in the Word of God as I am my shout, I ought to cut out part of my shout. Amen. Well, I want to say this morning, God's Word being presented is very, very important. Now, we're going to read the text in just a moment, but I'll give you a couple little things so you're with me when we start. First of all, I want to say that Corinth was a very wealthy city, to say the least. It was what commentators have called a commercial hub. It was a prosperous cosmopolitan metropolis that rested somewhere about 45 miles from Athens. Down the road where men place much emphasis on knowledge and men's wisdom. Some of the stuff I'm about to read to you now will become an open page to your understanding, because now you will begin to picture that philosophy played a big role in the environment that Paul was preaching in. It was the place where the cultured elites would go and rest themselves. The academies of admiration floated down the Niles of this location. It was a stream and a love affair for human wisdom. Why, the greatest orators known in humanity would find their rhetoric at this place. Let me say to you, the Bible said that there wasn't too many that had it altogether chosen. Not according to the Bible. The Lord laid much on the unlearned because they recognized the inability how to do anything to help God out. Let me tell you something. My degrees won't help me this morning. Oh, that's a sign of diligent study and a sign of wanting to be where God is. I want to tell you my assignment this morning. You ought to be able to gauge if I'm doing it right by where I'm walking in the Word of God. And if I'm not doing it right, I ought to get it right. Now, I think we've said enough. If you'll honor God's Word in standing this morning, I'm going to do my very best to read to you as hurriedly as I can. Preach real fast if you'll listen to her. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1. If you found it, would you acknowledge by saying amen? And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. And I want to say amen, amen, amen. Paul acknowledges that what must be said must be ordained and founded on God. If Bible preaching is not in the pulpits of America, they ought to bring back a preacher that knows how to preach or close the door. That's right. Verse 2, class. For I determined not to know anything among you save who? Save Jesus Christ. Now I'm getting stirred up. I'm going to let you be seated just a minute. Let me explain something to you. There are two things coupled together right here that explodes in dynamic spiritual truth that we need to be mindful of. First of all, Paul shows us the coupling of Jesus and the Christ. They are brought together. Jesus is a New Testament name rendered from where we get the name Joshua in the Old Testament. The name Joshua in the Old Testament renders that the Lord of glory is with us. I want to say glory to God.
I'm glad that God was with them in the crossing of the Red Sea. He was with them in the parting of the water. He was with them when they needed to make that landslide movement to try to follow God. But I want to say flat-footed that God is with us in the New Testament. When it brought Jesus Christ into this, boy, I feel God in here. When it, feeling better. When he brought Jesus Christ into this world, he brought us hope. He brought us a guide. He brought us a friend. He brought us love. He sheltered us with great God Almighty. I'm glad the Lord of glory is with me this morning. He is Jesus with us. He's the Christ that identifies in dynamics that he's anointed. He set himself in the Gospel of Luke that the gospel itself was committed to him. And he tells us that that gospel was a gospel of sin out of men's broken hearts and to change people's lives. Same identity is written, I think, in Isaiah 61, where the Lord tells us why he is where he is. I want to tell you who can mend your fence this morning. I looked out across this congregation. I could see men and women alike, tears coming down their face when Adrian was singing. That's why you need anointed singing in your church house. People's lives are being touched. People's hearts are being molded and fashioned into where God is. And Paul said, I want you to understand one thing. I come determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm already out of sort with myself. Let me tell you something that's happened now. Paul said that the Christ that he knows, the Jesus that he knows, the God that is with him, and the God that has anointed him, listen, is a God that was crucified for him. If you can't be humbled by the thought that Jesus Christ loved you, lived for you, died for you, and on the third day he got up out of the graveyard, you missed the whole message. I know how it is. Men, sometimes I've been in environments where I couldn't move like I'm moving this morning. Some environments I couldn't even shout like I'm shouting this morning. You got to know the congregation. Man, I went into a public building invited by the elite of Burke County, went into the upper town where the square is. They invited me to come in and preach for a big part of those masterminds and the money makers. Now, maybe you'll criticize me, and I don't really care. But I went because I was asked. By the way, I've never been treated better in my life. I walked up to that platform. I opened my Bible. I read from the scriptures, felt comfort from another land, felt like God was my guide, and heaven was my home, and the Holy Spirit was my guide. Oh, I said it in a little bit softer tone voice, but I got to one place I couldn't help it. You know, I looked out across that place and them dear ladies, that was, boy, I want to tell you, bless God. You can say what you want to, but that crowd that was down there, they were dressed to the hood. And some of them had them fine little hats on. They look a little bit better than some people come to church nowadays. Now, I ain't talking about your dress unless you got better than you wear. You see, what I'm telling you is, you don't hear a whole lot being said about why we're in the fix that we're in. Paul said, I know nothing but Christ, Jesus, and him crucified. Let me say something about the crucifixion. The crucifixion is a place where he that is innocent was given in lieu of him that was guilty. Now, all of you ought to say amen right there. I want to tell you right now, if Jesus hadn't come for me, I'd still be in darkness. I got to read my text. Verse number 3, if you're with me, say amen. And I was with you. Now listen at Paul. I want to tell you one thing we need to be mindful of. Standing the way I'm standing today, talking as boisterous as I'm talking, has nothing to do with arrogance. People have misinformed people around our world. They have misappropriated arrogance for anointing and holy boldness. A lot of preachers are afraid to say what I'm saying this morning. But bless God, I go to work again if I have to down at the mill just like you. That's where I worked before I started preaching, before they ever gave me anything.
That's our preacher, my brother.
He said, and listen, I was with you in weakness. That's a terminology that defines his humility. I'm going to tell you something. As much as I am forward and bold, I should never lose sight of the humility that Jesus Christ presents the gospel in. We ought to be mindful. I can see right now it's going to be hard to finish this message. He said, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now you got to understand now, class, let's backtrack for just a moment. Paul is not an amateur. He was a Jew. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He knew the laws of Judaism. He knew that thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not covet. Do you know the average family don't even know what the Ten Commandments are these days? I don't mean this bad, but I bet if I asked you to stand up and give me the Ten Commandments, you'd get a little frightened. But it might make you a little bit more thoughtful when I stand up to preach as scared as I am.
Preach it, brother.
Say amen right there. I love preaching. He said, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of what? Of what, class? Man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the what? By the way, that's a capital S in my Bible. That is not a booger hanging in the closet. That word for spirit is a Greek word where we find that it is the power and the person of God exactly.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm not afraid to tell it. Oh, I've been told, you wouldn't believe how much junk I've been told. I've been told not to go that far down in the Bible. Just keep it simple. Keep your mouth shut. That's all you got to say. I'm going to tell you right now, we've been living off this bottle stuff long enough. I'm going to tell you right now, I like a good steak. And I like it tender. I don't want them to come in and say, man, that stuff's raw. And then want to take that thing back and throw it on the furnace. And bring it back to me when it's tougher than raw hide. I want it fresh. I mean, have you ever... Boy, y'all looking at me. Have you ever heard the beat in your life? People get all tore up when they go down to the local steakhouse. If they bring that thing back and it ain't right, but they'll go to church and sit there half asleep and him never tell enough of the word of God that get a cockroach a moving and they'll just shout it out. I'm going to tell you right now, you ought to examine your preacher. You ought to find out if he's telling it right. You're to follow him. I mean, come to church with a Bible. You said, I can't read it. Then flash it in the devil's face. Just, he don't know the difference if you won't tell him. Amen. He don't know everything.
Right.
Is that right? Somebody said, prove it. All right. If the devil knew everything, why would he have proposed to God to attack Job? Listen, he didn't even really have sight to really who Job was altogether, I don't think. Or God would not have told him, have you considered, now this is the cue, my servant Job. God's looking for somebody that'll serve him. Oh, I can see it clearly. I got to read this. Preacher, will you get on with it? And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very close hinge to where we're living. If we don't get the power of God in our life, we'll be the next one to drop out of church. Clear defining moment for us, class. A clear defining moment. He said that your faith should not, listen, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Man, I was flipping through the television the other day trying to find preacher. And this crowd up in here is flashing her eyes like that. God got a perfect plan for you. and you're God's choice. You're the upper crust. Do y'all know what the upper crust is? That ain't nothing but a bunch of crumbs held together by law.
That's right. Go ahead.
The biggest church in America seats thousands in a coliseum area.
Go ahead,
he'll flash them eyes. And he'll dance around there. Well, him part of the time and his wife the other part. Telling folks how wonderful they are. Well, you are, according to the Bible, wonderfully and fearfully made. But that's about as far as you can get it. You with me, class? What I want to say to you is that our preacher better do something besides dance around, try to look pretty, find a few words that are part of the modern day camaraderie, and try to do something to make people feel good. Well, bless God, I felt good on a Friday, and by Saturday evening been sick as a dog. Have you? I was thinking, I'm kind of glad they tore yesterday's down. When I first moved to this part, go about Friday, Saturday night, son, I had that car all slicked up, and I done had that hip moving, son. I'll tell you right now, they put it on down there. Back in 79 and 80, they had bumped that, and I done found out why people want that stuff like they do in most churches. The way that music is, it had that bumping. It didn't make, if you didn't have rhythm, as hard as them subs was hitting in that building, it get your hip to moving like that.
Preach it, brother. Tell it, brother, Paul.
Boy, they had an auction down there. How long ago has that been? Just Judy. How long, you remember when that's one of your kin folks or something used to own that thing, wouldn't it? I didn't mean that to embarrass you. But it's been a little while back. I bought something out of that place is what I'm trying to say. Man, I got a cabinet in my basement. You said, what did you go buy that for? Because bless God, it was cheap. And the devil was going out of business. I got a big old cabinet in my basement. Man, it's the finest built cabinet. Solid plywood. Ain't no core in that. Bless God, it's plywood. And I pulled that thing and jerked and hummed and did everything I could to get it down to the house. And I began to visualize them old days when I was like the rest of them heathens. Went in there about dark because that's what the devil does. And boy, don't y'all look at me like that. Some of you bunch of rebels too. You've been around to there. Some of you, I heard these Baptist preachers stand up and say, why, bless God, a dancing knee and a dancing hip and a praying knee ain't on the same body. They ain't read their Bible. The Bible said in Psalm that David danced.
Amen.
Now I ain't gonna tell you how he danced. He did. Check me out. Find out if I know any Bible. Well, let me just tell you, some of you are confused. He danced naked. Now that's pretty messed up.
Yes, he did.
Don't get no ideas. Ain't gonna be none of that. Not long as they still making these Italian suits, hey. That ain't got a thing in the world to do with my preaching. Get on track, preacher. What I'm simply saying to you is that the volume that happens in America today is a volume that has captured the minds of people and entertains the lives of people. That's why children have now been mesmerized by what happens in these big stadiums. And they're moved by what happens in these big sceneries and these big presentations. It's theatrics, ladies and gentlemen. It's no longer theology. I want to say, being that I'm having a hard time reading my text, let me give you a couple of sound Bible truths, and then we'll deal with it as much as we can. Number one, Paul's primary focus was always Jesus. I want to say something to this congregation this morning. If you testify in this church about Jesus, don't tell me about that ingrown toenail that you've been working with for 5 years.
Amen. That's good. Amen. Amen.
Tell me something about the Lord Jesus. Tell me how he radically moved in your life. Now, don't y'all get mad. If you've got an ingrown toenail, God bless you. I know you need some prayer. Sure as a world. But don't let that become the scenery of our church service. Right? I've seen people go crying a bucket of tears
over what happened with my great-grandmama's left cousin's fried uncle's first day Advent church way back in the 1700s. Lord God, don't ask me to say that again. I want to tell you, we've lost sight. We've lost sight. Paul's primary focus was the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. When I talk to you, I've got to appeal to the most spiritual endowment of your life. Notice how Paul said it in verse number 1. If you're with me now, say amen. He said, and I. You know, I is a pronoun, right? Any word that you use to describe yourself other than your name would be considered a pronoun. A pronoun is something that takes the place of you. A noun is a person, a place, or a thing. So Paul could use words like I and me and my, and the backwoods boy said, and you. He said, and I, brethren. Paul didn't call them a bunch of perverts. He called them brethren. Hey, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. If you got saved by the grace of God, my brothers and my sisters. My brother-in-law Chuck gave me a watch a few years back. It's got brothers with different mothers on it, ain't it? Ain't that what you had? What do you call that stuff you put on? Engraved. And I was flipping that thing out the other day. I was looking at it. And he says he's brothers with a different mother. Somebody asked me quite frequently when they come to meet me, said, what should I call you? Should I call you Reverend? Or what? I said, well, most people call me brother. Or preacher or pastor. Don't ever tell your youngins to call any preacher by his first name. It's disrespectful. Now I'm saying that because that's truth. By the way, you folks that are in this room, if I address you and you're older than I, it's always brother, sister, mister, or miss. Is that not right?
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
I always precede in my conversation that elevates respect. Paul was a man that believed in that. His primary focus was the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, and I, brethren, he gives us the picture of people that are born just like him into the faith of God. Now let me give you a little bit more in-depth teaching on that, because we're living in a world that's become so modernized, nobody's sinners anymore. You're with me? Everybody's good. I mean, can I just tell you what I saw yesterday? As two black boys went in a store where I bought my gas to put in that Harley. And them boys was up there, and one of them turned to the other, and he said, you going to church tomorrow? And I thought, man, that's pretty good. I think I'll start conversation. And I felt like the Spirit of God said, just be still a minute. He turned away, and the next thing out of his mouth, he said something about he'd been married 29 years, and no, I ain't going tomorrow, but we're going to renew our vows. And you know what? If I was the man, this is what he said, the other guy. He said, if I tell anybody, they're crazy. If they want to get married these days, they're crazy. And it wasn't 30 seconds. That other boy that said something about going to church come back from the cooler, and guess what he had? He had him one of them quart jugs. I know what it looked like. I sold enough of it when I run a store when I was lost and undone without God. I know what that stuff looks like. By the way, I not only know what it looks like, I know what it does to you.
Tell it, brother. Tell it, my brother.
And I thought, that's why I should have kept my mouth shut and not said nothing to him about that church business. He ain't going to have much of a testimony talking to me about going to church or doing nothing. He's sitting there with a jug in his hand. By the way, if you helping people get that stuff, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I know it ain't preached, and I ain't got it because I need to get it fixed up, but we had a Ten Commandments and a church covenant. And when we remodeled this building, we took it all down. I got a nice, wonderful rail frame. Some of you wonderful, talented, God-blessed, heavenly angelic beings in this room might be able to help me put it together.
It needs to be put back up. It's already just about everything except the mitered edge for the size been cut. But used to, they hung them things up. And it says that we don't participate in the sale nor the use of alcoholic beverage.
Amen. Amen.
I want to say as honestly as I can, is it likely that we've missed certain elements in our preaching in America? Man, I have people all the time tell me they want to do stuff. I've had guys who want to come up here. I know some good musicians. I could call them in before next Sunday. They're some of the finest guitar players you'll ever know, but they'll be playing music on Friday and Saturday night. Now, you tell me if I were to call them or not. I didn't get but four or five of you. You tell me if I should call them or not. I guarantee you, boy, you can call them to come down and play keyboards and everything else, and they got it if you base it on the world standard. But they ain't got it down in here. I want to say Paul made his primary focus the Lord Jesus Christ, and he embraced the people in that church by calling them brethren. He said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom." Now, class, think with me. All right, I know what time it is. Hang on a second, okay? Give me just a minute. I got to lay a foundation. Paul realizes that 45 miles is the monstrosity of intellectualism. Somewhere thereabouts, within 45 miles, I believe I've got it about right, was the orators of the world. He's in an environment that is the hub. It is the commercial hub. Man, they had the best of the best. They claimed that as far as theaters, they had it together, son. Hollywood didn't have nothing on them. Let me say, in defense of a few larger congregations, all of them are not counterfeits. Did y'all hear what I just said? Sometimes people hear only what they want to hear. All of them are not counterfeits. But many of them are. And the sadness of it all is that few people sitting in the pews now know the difference. Do you know that very few people ever even read their Bibles? You take some of these LIMRA reports, some of these statistical departments, Barna Research Center, some of these people that spend their days getting information data based on phone calls. When you get these phone calls and they say, "Do you have just a moment to answer two or three questions?" Guess who's doing that? Research Center. They hire these people now all across the world to try to get people to help bring data together to find out where we are in the world. And after they have that data, they sell that data, many of them, to people that require it. That's why when you go on that computer, you better be careful where you go, because there is a, and y'all know I work on computers. But if I ever find garbage and you ask me to fix your computer, you can believe after I do that, that I'm not going to help you anymore. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear me? Now, let me say something else in defense of that. When all of a sudden that browser on that computer gets hijacked and it sends you to somewhere other than where you went, that's called an internet hijacker. That means that in spite of what has happened in days gone by, even stuff that would be clean, they now try to throw in filth on other people. That's why your kids don't need a computer in their room. I didn't get one amen. That's why your children don't need a computer in their room by themselves. And if you need a little help on securing that network, I'll help you, honey. I'm going to say this.
Where Paul was important. He had a congregation of people that very few people in the whole world ever get to preach to. By the way, the biggest upset Paul ever encountered was when he preached to that crowd called the Jews. He went into their own temple, of which he himself was a brand of, and they themselves run him out of town. Now let me tell you something, class. We've gone a long ways from God in America. And I want to tell you something about your little preacher. After 11 years, I never seen anyone that was more thoughtful trying to help a preacher than you guys done for. I'm humbled by everything you did for me last week. So many cards, money, a gift here and a gift there, and on top of all that, the church, the money they gave me. I really don't know of anybody else that I can say is more blessed than I am. So y'all know what I'm made of. But let me tell you something. That kind of stuff shouldn't hinder my preaching. That ought to help me. Now, I spend a lot of time on the computer. Man, I can't tell you the thousands of pages that I put together in 26 plus years of ministry. It's a real help to me. But it could be a real hindrance. I want to tell you, Paul helps us to see what kind of preaching is important. It's Jesus preaching. And it's preaching that should include the brethren. You know, somehow or another we've gotten into this. Well, if I'm saved, bless God, just kind of stroke me real easy. Hey, I want to tell you something. There's some roughnecks come in these doors. Every once in a while, you need to hide took off of you. Well, what little bit's left?
That's right.
I mean, you
That's
know,
right.
Really, ain't that right? Every once in a while, you need somebody to just come right there and fine-tune your instrument.
Right.
Amen? Amen? But I'll tell you what, every once in a while, you need somebody that'll come by when they catch you broken up. And you can't hardly make it another step. Somebody can sit down beside you and say, look, I just want you to know I'm here with you. I don't know what you're feeling. I don't know what you're thinking. But I just want you to know we'll get right here and we'll stay right here till God. Is that the kind of stuff Paul was stroking them? He said, listen, and I, brethren, he said, I want you to be mindful. I don't have it like them boys 45 miles down the road have it. I've got it better.
Amen.
Don't you remember when Jesus sat among the lawyers of his day? You remember his mom and daddy went into town. Y'all remember that? Say this. And they left town and forgot him. Gone a day's journey out, finally figured out, where's Jesus? And y'all wondering why your kids run off. And they found him. They found him. A boy sitting among the elite. When they finally, Lord God, when they finally concluded about him, they marked him on two or three levels. They said, number one, ain't never a man spake like this man.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Nobody ever told. He walked up through town and a little old woman had a problem.
Hallelujah.
She did. The crowd couldn't help her. She'd been that way a long time. She caught the edge of his garment. He said the virtue went out of me.
Yes, sir.
They said, yeah. My Lord, don't you see a crowd like we got? How in the world can you tell? I tell you how you can tell, because he's God. That's how.
Amen.
People coming in our church, I watch how people touch me. I'm going to tell you right now, Lord God, you don't know how innocent nothing is in churches nowadays. Need I say any more? Need I say any more? You got to be careful. And on your best day, it can be bad. Let me conclude. I said that three times, ain't I? Wind it up. Conclude. All means the same thing. Nothing. Then God said, why don't you put your watch up there on the pulpit, preacher. Why? Just to keep from getting sweat on it? See, I want to say something about Paul's preaching. It was not an earthly pep talk. It was not a time of suggestions. It was a means of recovery. I want to tell you something just as plain as I can tell you. We're not getting better and better in this world. It's becoming more and more and more complicated. I'm going to poll this congregation. If you will participate, I'd be most grateful. How many of you have lived long enough that you could plainly say with me publicly by an uplifted hand that things right now are darker and dirtier than any other time that you can remember? Hold your hand up. Now look around at each other. Thank you. We've got to have a safe haven for our children to grow up in. We need a preacher that won't dance because everybody around him is trying to entertain him or win him over. Do you know some people don't like me today because they can't buy me? Do you know that? I've had people come through this church and take me out to dinner and want to buy me this and buy me that, and I'm not for sale. It's a scary day. I've had people to call me and invite me to lunch that were not male in gender. Isn't that something? Does that surprise you? Guess what? My answer was, no way. I just need to talk to you about how God's been moving in my life. Then let's meet at the church house. And we'll have somebody else there when we meet. Don't look at me like that, folks. I'm telling you, we're living in a dark day.
Yes, we are.
Final conclusion. And I'm not going to poll you and try to sing 10 verses and get you to come to the altar. I want to see how your preacher's doing. I want to make sure he's preaching and not playing. Paul had written about half of the New Testament, and his assignment kept getting bigger and bigger. Seemed like every day. The man buddied with people that eventually turned on him and run him out of town. Can I tell you something about your preacher this morning, honestly? I had some people really hurt me. They hurt me on every level. I struggle from within to protect myself. I ain't much. But I'd say physically, I probably take as good care of myself as you can you. I ain't talking about that. Did you hear me? A man run in the face of a Ruger is kind of crazy. Is that right? Now, I ain't done what some of them, I probably should have a time or two. I didn't wear no gun. Let me make sure you know that. You won't frisk me. Be careful. But I know some preachers take a pistol to the pulpit. Big time churches. These men you see standing on the corners, they're not there trying to look pretty. Some of these men have been threatened. Take you down to one of the finest churches in Charlotte you ever went into in your life, and every single service, they got a man watches them. Go down to Dr. Stanley's church and ask him for a few minutes of his time and see if he'll take you back and tell you that somebody slapped him in the face one time. Why would anybody want to slap a man like that? Of course, he had enough of men that finally caught on real quick and said, you won't do that twice. You never hear that. You know that? I'm telling you, things are tough. Days are complicated. Families are ripped and torn. We need to find out if our preacher's doing it right. Every time I stand to preach, my preaching is scrutinized. And I know it's quiet in here. I really don't expect much more except for somebody to listen. Man, I got the greatest challenge on me, Brother Keith, I ever had in 26 years of ministry. I try to consolidate our efforts when we come together so that when we come together in the church, it's no party and play. It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, if you're saved, you're my brethren, and if you're not, you can become one. Right?
Amen.
I bet you hadn't heard nothing like this lately. You see, the last several months we spent time talking about where we are as a people. We spent time dealing. We got real personal, hadn't we? And now today's another one of those days. The kind of preaching that ought to belong in pulpits in America, I think, are people that preach as a primary focus Jesus Christ. And when you don't bring your family to church, you're signing a receipt on their life that gives the devil free lance to your home. Caution. May God help me to get where I am today, that I make Jesus my primary focus all the time. And how do you know it? Because he said he came not with excellency of speech. There's only really one way to define that. Paul did not try to appear superior. Man, that crowd that he was preaching to, they were books on legs. You know anybody like that? Books on legs. Lord have mercy. The end. If I was on that, some of you really missed the advantage of them old televisions. Had them tubes in them. Because you remember what that thing looked like at the night when it said sign off. Deed! And had that big push it. Listen, may God help us as a body, as brethren, to never accept a substitute.
Amen. Amen.
Challenge that preacher to preach, no matter who he is.
Amen.
If this brother gets up to preach, challenge him. If this brother gets up to preach, challenge him. They don't have to be like me, and I don't have to be like them, but they have to be what God wants them to be.
Amen.
Let's stand all across the house. I know this is a lot to digest this morning. I knew that was going to be the case. I want to say that Corinth was very famous for their outdoor theater. The truth is, they had the greatest actors across the board. I hate to say this, but I think some people are professional actors. Do you? You've seen them. You ever had somebody tell you they love you and you thought, man, that didn't sound right? If you had that, say amen. See, you got to have discernment. Pray for your preacher. Pray, number one, that he never sell out to theatrics, but that he always be bathed in Bible theology.